Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast. What is the podcast? Yeah. Oh, baby. Say welcome. Welcome to the Fun Stuff Podcast.
All right. Now, here's the podcast with myself and Matt Brady hosting and our special guest, Mr. Kevin Whalen.
I just got the call from the club. I went down one Sunday night, Pittsburgh Funny Bone, and I went in and did a guest spot on the Sunday night. They hired me just to host, and it was Dave Chappelle. I was like, cool, this was before his show and everything. It was like an 03, and I never even met the guy. He'd pull up, and he'd run in on the side. He'd do a set, and then he'd take off, and so I never met him, but I worked with some good names there. Yeah, I opened for him. And that's all I can really say is I've been near famous people. That's really my only credit.
So the best credit you have is like, yeah, I got to open for Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
But you never tell anyone. I never met him. So
no, I don't.
I'm sorry to burst your bubble. You're going to fail right now. Funny Stuff Podcast is going to make or break your whole career. Your 19-year career and the secret's out.
I'm killing them, man.
It's over now. My intro shot.
I'm going to be like emailandlaughspin.com. Yeah, Kevin Roth. We need to get him fired. He never met Dave Chappelle. Get him off the road. Speaking of that, did you hear about Ralphie May? You know Ralphie May, right? Did you ever hear the story? Ralphie May was doing like a class, like an improv class. I think in 07, there's a video of it, and he's telling backstories about comedy and what to do and what not to do. And one of the stories he told, they bleeped the name out, but it was Ron White. He talked about how Ron White couldn't get work in the South because he was having sex with all the waitresses.
I believe it.
And the one waitress, he was smoking 8 balls of coke, crack or whatever it is, and he had sex with the one head waitress. And then went and told all the comics, made fun of her, told it on stage. That same waitress got like a promotion and ran 8 of the 9 big clubs in Texas. And she lost all of, she like banned him, couldn't get any work. And I don't know if you know about Ron White, he got sent to... He really did it. He kind of made himself. He moved to Mexico and started a pottery factory.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Jeez, that's what drinking does to you, you know?
Well, I mean, that's also what happens when you have sex with him and then when you lie about meeting Dave Chappelle.
Oh, okay, so I better go to Mexico and start my pottery business.
And have sex with fat waitresses?
I like that you just equated Ron White blowing coke and having sex with the wait staff with... Did you actually meet... Oh, son of a...
That's a very loose connection there. But you got back to it.
You see, you're like, Kevin Rowland, headlining at the Pottery Barn. Man, I know a lot about pottery, guys. Let me tell you about some assholes, too, while I'm at it. But no, man, if you got your start down there in Pittsburgh, what made you want to do comedy, and how old were you? How old are you right now? Okay, so you had, 19 years, am I right?
This will be my 18th year.
18. Yeah, so you've been doing this since about 21, 20-ish?
Yeah, I was 21 when I started.
Okay.
So, yeah. And, I've been wanting to do it since I was a kid. And then, you know, when you grow up, people are like, oh, man, you should be a comedian. You love hearing that. It's like, all right. Finally got the balls to do it after my freshman year of college and been doing it ever since.
See, I actually started almost the same time frame. So you're telling me that if I stick with it and work hard... But I could still be right here in 20 years.
Yes. If you shoot for the middle and you settle for less and be happy with that, there's a place for you right here at the middle spot at the Funny Stop.
Boy, oh boy. Right. I've always dreamed of being pretty good.
We're just busting balls, man. We don't mean any of that. Don't think that. We always bust out on the
post. It's fine.
We're comics, man. Love doing that. No, because we've had some comics here that kind of get mad like that. They always think, like, busting balls, we're comics.
I know where I'm at. You know,
well, I'm not
even good at even it. If you guys were serious, what am I going to say? Hey, you're right.
Well,
you're supposed to bust their balls.
Well, you can just kind of come back and be like, "Well, are you guys getting paid for this podcast?" No, well, no. I'm getting paid here, so suck my dick.
There you go. So yeah, you're going to keep this going while I go to the bathroom. So
just wireless, take it in there.
All right. No, I don't have to.
I was like, we won't be able to hear your responses, but we're just going to keep talking. Wrap it up. Pete can go suck a dick real quick. We're not done here.
Oof, that's why he's not paying you.
Oh, don't worry. I'm working
don't
next
week. He sucks a dick.
No, I'm working next weekend. He owes me money. But, who were some of your big influences then when you were younger?
Well, I'm old, so it had to be George Carlin was number one. George Carlin and probably a big amalgam of 80s comedians because I used to just devour any comedy I could get when I was a kid. And there'd be, like, Evening at the Improv and, you know, all the guys that were on Carson and Letterman and all that stuff. So I just, the young comedian specials, Bill Hicks, you know, when he was doing his thing. So, yeah, just a big blurry amalgam of 80s comics and George Carlin was the main guy.
Well, shit, if I'd have known you were into that stuff, I have an 8-disc box set in my apartment of all, like, late 80s, early 90s comics, like, when they were all doing, like, Dangerfields and improv.
I probably think they suck now. I mean, you know how comedy just evolves. You mm-hmm. get past all that stuff. It's like, yeah, that was good for its time, but, you know, there's still some good stuff. But, yeah, I'd like to see that.
Well, because, like, a lot of people, like, they'll like a comic and then they'll change. So, like, if you're saying, like, Carlin and Hicks, those guys are real reminiscent to each other. Yep. Is that the style you started out doing?
No. I didn't even know what I was doing. I was just trying to be... goofy. I was trying to be goofy and dirty at the same time because I wanted to be a little bit absurd. You know, I liked British humor and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff Carlin did. I mean, I like the combination of the two.
So, out of the two, though, who would be your favorite?
What's that?
Carlin or Hicks? Who do you like? Everybody, every comic.
Carlin was the main guy. He was the main guy.
Did you ever see the old Hicks the first time he really got his break when he was in the Outlaws of Comedy with... Kinison, and it was, I think,
oh,
it was,
yeah,
Kinison's first time on Dangerfield, and you see Hicks go up, and it was like, he was like reminiscent of like Kinison and more of like a Clay because he wore the jacket, he had,
yeah,
the cigarette. I don't know if you know that's because that's where Hicks like was real big. He was in the Outlaws of Comedy with Kinison and those guys. And a crazy thing, I don't know if you listened to the Joe Rogan podcast,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
stuff, they were talking about all the guys that were in the Outlaws of Comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Almost all of them are done. Carl LeBeau was one of the guys.
Yep.
He was one. He's still getting some work around.
Still out there, yeah.
There was another guy who ended up being a lawyer.
Yeah, he's in Cleveland.
Oh, he is.
With that guy. Yeah, I forget what his name is.
You know what I'm talking about there, yeah. Like, he ended up being a lawyer. And
yeah,
Hicks...
He'll buzz down to another club.
Yeah.
Near town. And I've seen him a couple times. He's good.
He still goes up and does stuff. He doesn't,
yep,
really, like, work full-time as a kind of lawyer,
no,
stuff.
He's a lawyer, and he just bounces in and does it every once in a while when they need him. That's it.
He's probably got some wild fucking stories, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I heard Marin finally told the stories when he was being the doorman working for Kinison, and he ran with him all that shit, and how he thinks he came schizophrenic from doing all that shit with him. There's wild stories about that. I don't know if you knew all this stuff about those weird shit. How do you not know all this stuff?
You can't afford that when you're a middle act playing the Funny Stop. So funny stories are a dollar coffee. And
well, one story we like, to, or a question we like to ask everyone for their stories is, what's the craziest like hell gig, like shitty heckle story? What's one gig that stands out in your mind?
There's this one in Altoona, PA. It was a horrible night. Everybody was eating it. There was probably 40 or 50 people in the crowd, and they hated me. And I said something funny just as this girl took a drink. So I saw that she was trying to hold back the laughter. So I got off the stage, and I got in her face. And I don't even remember what I said, but instead of, I was just trying to get her to spit it out or have it come through her nose or whatever. She ends up puking all over the front row there. And everybody gets pissed at me. They have to shut down the show. And I'm the middle act. The headliner hasn't even come on yet. So they have to shut everything down, clean the... It was awful. It was awful. They didn't even want to pay me.
That's... They should have been happy, because that's a reaction really
a
anyone
reaction.
Gets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody says, oh, I'm so... Make water come out of your nose and all that. You're like, I will make you vomit.
Puking is better than indifference. I've stood by that for years.
I'm so funny. You will projectile vomit if you see me live.
That's, yeah, that's going to be my goal in comedy. I don't want people to be indifferent with their arms crossed. I want girls to puke.
Yes.
That sounds great. That sounds like my junior high
year.
You better
pick your venues.
I did. It was called a junior high. Every time I asked a girl to dance, I'd be like,
You're fat. Don't eat that.
That's me, man. I used to be fat. Giving me flashbacks of my life. I'm kidding. I used to be a very handsome young man.
I only played bulimics. That's it. I only played bulimics.
Play bulimics? What's that mean?
I play four bulimics. I only do... Those are the only people I want in my audience.
You know, what about the anorexics?
Fuck them. I've been saying that for years, too.
The only good thing about being anorexic or bulimia is you have a really good body. So you have... I just tell everyone I had a body by Auschwitz.
Yeah, great stomach muscles. Abs, I think they're called.
Well, the anorexics are boring because they're just going to sit there and probably, like, nod or whatever because...
Just not eat.
Yeah, because they're just tired. The bulimics, they had food. And they're like, oh, okay, that was good, but I'm done.
Yeah, and really, once it gets past your tongue, who cares? Let it go.
Yeah.
Puke. You know, I support bulimia.
So I think that's, if we're going to take a stance on anything...
Yeah.
Keep at it.
Hard
work, dedication. You can have the body you always wanted without real work besides just throwing it back up.
Do you imagine having to follow someone, though, that's a comedian that has bulimic on the mic? Do you imagine how bad the mic would smell?
Ooh, it smells bad as it is, you know? Sometimes it touches my face up there, and I'm thinking, ugh, you know, this guy's been spitting on this thing for 52 weeks. You know it's never been cleaned. They don't clean the microphones, do they? No.
I won't say anything about the funny stuff, but I have seen multiple venues not clean the microphones.
They don't. Nobody does.
I saw
Keith will hit it and be like,
I had to follow one comic, and I don't want to say his name. You know him. He smoked drugs, crack, meth, very dirty mouth, very, very dirty mouth, and I had to follow him, and he spit on the microphone. I had to go up, and I wrapped my shirt over the mic to do that, and I could still smell it over that stuff. That's one of the health hazards of this job, because you don't get health insurance as a comedian. Could you imagine following someone with like a cold sore, and you had a chapped lip that day, and you just put Blistex on, and you do a bit where you kiss the microphone?
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell your wife that.
That situation ever happening.
I can't imagine coming up with a bit where I make myself kiss the microphone, because that sounds like asking for that.
Well, you better write some material about that cold sore, because everybody's going to be wondering.
You can totally kiss near the microphone, like, see, I didn't touch it. Everyone just heard that.
You got to make it think that the cold sore is on purpose, that you can't do the bit without the cold sore. You know, when like somebody wears a shirt and they're like, hey, look at this shirt. Can you believe I wore this? That's what you'd have to treat the cold sore like.
You're going
to
be the hacky cold sore comedian. You can only do stand-up when you have flare-ups. What's that one? What's that drug called? Like the Electro or whatever? No, that's a superhero. But yeah, you can't take Paxil or something. Yeah. If you don't take your medicine, you can go do stand-up. Oh, I got a gig tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to go kiss hookers. I'm going to go mouth kiss hookers.
I got this great 30-minute bit about my cold sores. I got to have it.
Trust me, it's a killer. Then you're going to be the head. Like, dude, I hate this guy. He's so hacky. And then like cold sore comedians are going to become hacky.
Yeah, popping up and everything. He's going to be bitter. I've been writing that shit. You know it was me. I started that shit.
They're going to go on tour and it's going to be the lepers of comedy.
That's how you know you've exhausted all the gimmicks that you can think of. When you're like, you know what, I just need to cause myself some like bodily harm, catch a virus maybe.
And he's going
to
influence somebody. He's like, you know, the cold sore guy, man, he was the biggest influence on me. I don't want to go cold sore, but I'm thinking about lesions. So I'm going to be the lesion guy, seriously.
Well, because everyone talks about like, they're like, yeah, oh, it's a rapping grandma. Oh, we're going to see that again. No, now we're going to see the new comedian, the bed sore grandpa. My ass hurts. Yuck, yuck, wackadoodle.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ricky Ricketts.
That would be kind of silly, because then people would actually start doing like...
From Who's the Boss? Ricky Ricketts.
What's the one Tiny Tim with the little boy from A Christmas Carol that had a crooked leg?
Oh, Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim,
Tiny
yeah.
Tiny Tim, yeah.
That would be kind of weird, because then people would start... Yeah, that would really mess comedy up, man, if we had STD-driven comedians up there and that was their bits.
Well, it depends on how driven they are by the if it's terminal or not. You know, like if it's AIDS, and you'd be a driven comedian, I think, to get it... get your dream accomplished before it sets in.
Well, I saw one comedian do an interview who has cancer, and he was like, I'm really going to push this. And he was, and that's what he was going on tour as. He was like, it was something like the last year of my life tour. And wow. He's only got a couple months left to live. I was reading an interview of him. But hey, man, fuck it.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of rap songs. Money over everything.
Money over everything. That's the most important thing. Forget your friends and family.
I don't know why that would apply to somebody with only a year left to live anyways, though, because that money, isn't that another saying? Can't
he's
take it with you when you're gone?
He's going to leave a legacy. He's going to leave that $300 to his
yeah, but if,
or something.
If you're busy not caring about everybody else, who do you care about leaving the money to?
That's true.
Yeah, now this just got philosophical on the Funny Stop podcast. Right after herpes talk.
See, look, that's the thing. Like, if you had cancer... and you're doing stand-up and traveling the country. All right, let's dig this out for a minute. Right. You got 24 hours a day. Let's just say you sleep 6 to 8 hours. That takes you down to 18, we'll say 18-ish hours up during the day. You do stand-up, boom, as a headliner, 45 to an hour. That leaves you with at least 16 hours of the day. That money, trust me, dude, if you gave me $100 a day for 60 days, I could find some wild shit to do.
Live while you're dying.
Well, no, because then you go down to Tijuana and just bang out every type of woman you ever want, and then you could become the herpes comedian too.
Yeah, and leave a lot of seeds and leave a lot of other herpes. Spread that stuff around. You have a legion of friends.
I have a legion of lesions.
Legion of legions.
I have my own
legion
army.
Of lesions.
That's what I would do. That's what I'd do if I had a retirement.
Be called.
The what's that?
That would be the followers of the legion comedian.
That the they wouldn't last very long.
No.
That'd be a very...
It'd be a quick and out. Hit and run.
We'd be like, yeah, we're kind of like...
That'd be funny, man. That's the next thing. You know, somebody with a terminal illness and they're getting a career started within the 2 years. There's your show.
No. Don't start encouraging that. Because Because for those 2 years, because that's going to keep happening, and yeah, they're going to die, but then there's going to be a bunch more people who just found out they had terminal illness, and then they're going to be encouraged. And I'm not, which one of us, we're all basically a stock person, like we're, you know, average Joe looking guys.
Nondescript, I mean, white people.
Yeah, Matt doesn't talk like it, but he is. So who is going to look at us and then see the terminally ill guy and be like, yeah, let's take normal guy over the guy with a cause and a mission and something interesting to talk about?
You could be a real dick and just say, hey, watch, I can do more push-ups than him or whatever, you know, just show your health. And
or you could just do like all the fat comedians and just talk about being fat. Or you could be a girl comedian, just talk about your vagina. Or as I like to call them, feminist dick jokes.
Yes, there's a lot of that. Why not just do the opposite? Be a skinny guy and just talk about being fat. And
what's
just totally, you know, warp the crowd. He's not fat. I don't understand. Just keep going it for like the whole hour. Just, you know, when you're fat and yeah, you know, I think that'd be great.
They're like, this guy is retarded. Let's just watch and see what he does. That would be a good thing. If you ever became a headliner, put your feature as a dude with a terminal illness, though. That way, like, every year you get a new one, you don't need a new act. You have a new opener.
You could just pick one. You don't really have to go the terminal illness route on.
Like, dude,
pick a guy.
Because John Cena would become, like, your best friend, and him and Justin Bieber, because they got the end at the Make-A-Wish Fund out and be like, yo, I need a new client. Tell me the most fucked up kid you got. Taking him on the road with me.
Yeah. Does he know a song? Can he play guitar? Does he know a couple good jokes? Maybe a magic trick.
Yeah, I'm going to make myself disappear.
Oh.
I don't even know what I want
to say. He just grabbed the mic and got nothing.
I think that'd be a bad. That'd be a pretty good marketable act, too, because then you have the Make-A-Wish Foundation basically sponsoring what you're doing, so that would be a good thing, and then you could make a lot of kids' dreams come true because the Make-A-Wish Foundation won't give them pussy.
Yeah, that's true. But most of them are like 12, I think. You got to be under a certain age, I think.
But that would be in turn into another thing, because then your whole act would be turning into a Chris Hansen bit where you are now a sex trafficker. You would be so big in Thailand.
That's true. And if you're going to go there and bang hookers anyway, you know, like you were saying.
That's how you know he's a comic full circle. That's a good callback.
Thank you. I had that written down. I was waiting for it.
Do we have anything else?
I'm boring as shit, so I mean, I understand if you guys want to wrap
no,
up. I really
is,
am.
This has been very entertaining for me, because I don't know, we've just gone through all the niches, basically, trying to figure out if there's any, like...
Shining some light in some dark corners.
Are there any new diseases, I guess? Because I feel like AIDS is going to be played out. Everybody's
side effects now. I think the diseases are pretty much... They pop up every once in a while, but now we're just down to side effects.
You could get like a new skin thing. You could get like, you could get like a new form of staph all the time, or like every time there's a new flu, you could be that guy who gets it. You could be like, oh, I'm the
responsible for one death already.
They'd have to quarantine off the stage. We've got the first man with Ebola in America.
You would only be a closer. Nobody could ever follow you.
Yeah.
I'm not following that guy. He is a killer. Literally.
Ladies and gentlemen, the only man in America with SARS. Give it up for...
Hey, guys. There'd never be a front row, ever. I got front row tickets to see the SARS comedian.
They're wearing plastic, like, you know, Gallagher audience or something.
Oh, speaking of that, we had Gallagher here. He was racist and not a nice person.
That's what I heard.
Yeah,
I used to watch him when I was a kid in the 80s, and a guy, you know, all I heard were bad things about him when he was here.
Dude, I like go to thrift stores a lot. That's one of my favorite. Every day I go to thrift stores for like 6 hours a day. There's a thrift store, the Village Discount Outlet. I swear to God, for $5, they had a 13-disc box set of every Gallagher special and extras.
Yeah.
I didn't pass it. I didn't buy it. I passed on it because I thought I was going to waste money.
You just bought it and smashed it with a hammer.
I told Pete, I was like, Pete, I almost bought that. And he goes, holy shit, man. If you would have brought that, he signed it, it'd be worth nothing. I was like, eh. Well, speaking of that, we want to talk about, I like going to thrift stores. What's some stuff you like to do outside of comedy?
Well, I like to ride my bicycle, which is nice, you know. No, I really don't do much. I like writing. I like, you know, writing jokes and stuff like that. I hang out with my kids, you know. It's boring to talk about, but it's what I do.
Are they athletes? Do they do anything like that?
No, they're one's 2, one's 5, and one's 17. The oldest one is a track runner, but
okay.
The little ones, they're just they bounce back between the love of my life and like kind of parasites that feast on my sanity for nourishment. So,
is the track runner? Is he gonna be going to college for it or anything like that?
Not for that, but he's gonna go to college and he's probably gonna get either a full ride or a partial ride. He's pretty smart, so
that's
I'm very
pretty
happy
impressive.
About that. Yeah.
Well, if you, it's never too early, I guess. In case you're, because it sounds like you're passing on some intelligence through genetics. But if you're ever worried that one of them might not be the sharpest crayon in the box, or that's not a phrase, is it? Brightest crayon in the box. You know, I just want to throw this out there, pitch it to you like this. Maybe it's never too early to start giving them HGH. Because there's a lot of dads
idea.
Who do it. There's a lot of Northeast Ohio football dads who do it. And I'm just saying, if you ever want them to have a chance of making quarterback,
shoot him up.
I would consider it.
All right. That's a great parenting tip.
You said you have a 2- and a 5-year-old?
Yeah.
They're boys or girls?
All boys. All,
all boys? Well, I'm getting ready to have a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm having my first kid.
Congrats.
I guess. It wasn't on purpose, though.
Oh.
I forgot to pull out. I was drunk, and it was on Christmas, you know, I was celebrating not having to buy shit, and then I'm like, next Christmas, let's buy shit. So I had sex with my girlfriend while drunk on Christmas.
And here you go. And hopefully your future kid will listen to this podcast, go, aw, daddy, really?
Dad was a real dumbass.
Don't worry.
Pulled out, Dad. Well, don't worry, because my mom told me my mom was on birth control. I have two brothers, older brother, younger brother, all boys. My mom told me she skipped one day on her birth control, and that happened.
Wow, see? And now you're passing that on. I mean,
passing on the mistakes of life.
Yes.
I'm awesome at making life and mistakes.
Even Matt thinks that when his kid gets old enough to understand like what a podcast is and everything like that, like he's gonna need to hear the podcast about this to be like, wow, my dad's a dumbass.
It's not gonna be the day to day.
That's gonna be the
random podcast.
Whoa, dad's dumb.
Well, because I told my girlfriend we're 26. We're both 26. She's got a real good job. She makes a lot of money. I don't.
That's what you need as a comedian.
Well, yeah, I'm unemployed, or what I like to call it, full-time comedian.
Yes.
And by that, I mean I just drink and play a lot of video games and tell dick jokes on stage once in a while. So I was telling my girlfriend, like, because we're both white, too.
No way. Both of you.
Both white and Irish. And I was telling her, I was like, I really hope that we don't have a white kid. I really hope we have, like, a black kid or an Asian kid, some, like, different race. Because that's going to be my big national break. Because think how fucking viral and big that's going to be. If I go on Maury and be like, no, that Native American kid is mine.
You need a lab for that.
I don't give a shit. I just need sense. And I'm going to exploit my kid. Like, yo, check on me. I'm going to be over at Toots Bar on a Wednesday telling comedy. Come see me, guys. And that's going to be my credit that I met Maury Povich.
Yeah, that's better than the whole thing. You know, you didn't meet Dave Chappelle. Didn't open for Maury. No, I met him.
Well, then again, I get to tell people, like, I got to get drunk one time with Jim Florentine after a show. But then again, I don't tell anybody that.
Oh, good. Yeah, you better keep that secret.
I do. Damn, I'm really, really liquoring me up here, getting me to spill my guts.
I know. I just make people feel comfortable, you know? They come up to me and they just tell me their dreams and their hopes and what's going on in their lives.
It's because you have that soft-spoken voice, but you look like the first bad guy to get beat up in a Steven Seagal movie. That's the guy that gets beat up and then rolls out of prison.
Yeah. That was my claim to fame. I used to be that guy.
He's like, yeah, I've got 87 acting roles, none of them pornography. I've been in a lot of major shit. You get it. Can you put a car crash when I'm trying to say that joke? That was horrible. Put 5 toilets flushing at once. Holy shit, that was bad. But nah, man, so if you got kids, though, did that, like, change your comedy at all? I know it will, but is that where the big shift came from, the dirtiness to the cleanness?
No, not really. I mean, I don't think the kids have changed me that much. I think at the time when I had the 5-year-old, I was also getting sick of doing comedy, which I thought would never, ever happen. You know, you start out, you're so passionate about it, it's the only thing you're good at, and then out of nowhere, I just kind of hit a wall. I'm like, you know what, I was out in Sioux City, Iowa, or something like that, 2 days before Christmas, and I did a string of mediocre shows, and my last night was on like 4 weeks straight of one-nighters, and it was my last show 2 days before Christmas, and I was playing a bowling alley bar. I had a half-ass show, and I'm thinking, what the hell am I doing? I'm sick of doing this. I'm sick of my act. I'm sick of everything I'm doing, but I didn't know where to go from there, you know, and the reason that's when I hit the bottom with the lowest common denominator kind of humor, you know, I'm just like, you know, I'm not even laughing at my own shit. Why am I doing it? So I just kind of got off the road, and we had a kid, and he got married, and got married and then had a kid, you know. And now I'm crawling back to it.
So you saying advice to comics, whenever you're having writer's block, have a kid?
No. I would say just keep writing and push through it.
I actually had a comic. I'm not going to name him. He's a local comic. I told him about me and my girlfriend having a kid. He was like, man, I can't. Me and my girlfriend. I kind of want to get my girlfriend pregnant because I think it'd be a goldmine for comedy. I said, really? He goes, yeah, dude, because I think you're going to learn a lot and how to be funny. I said, yeah, so far, the only thing I've learned is how to deep throat a 9mm because holy shit, am I good at that? I can get all the way to the trigger. I mean, balls. You know,
keep working. You'll get all the way to the end there.
Yeah, but dude, are you a teacher now or are you used to be a teacher?
No, I just did it 1 year.
1 year?
That was it.
What'd you teach?
Social studies.
What grade? Eighth grade. Well, that's why. Kids are dicks.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it was awful. That's all I was doing was yelling at kids. Disciplinarian, you know.
Well, Devin, we had his dad here. His dad was a history teacher.
Yeah, Marv, 30 years.
Yep. He just got done. He's actually starting to sub again, though. But, yeah, he did that for a while.
Did you happen as a teacher?
No, I didn't. I went to high school with a couple people who had him at Ennis, though. But very, very different schools between Norton and Akron Public. Akron Public is like gangs by the time you're like 12. And then Norton's just a lot of pedophiles. So.
Well, a lot of pedophiles.
So, you know, pick your poison, I guess.
Well, now, where'd you grow up, though? Did you grow up here? How'd
no,
you end up here?
I grew up in West Virginia, about an hour and a half from here.
So you grew up in West Virginia, did comedy in Pittsburgh.
It was the only thing around. It was a 45-minute drive. I'd go up on a Tuesday night, do the open mic there, and drive back, and, you know.
Well, before we get out of here, one thing I want to ask, because comics like to listen to this, because, like, people like you that are actually getting work and give advice to people that are trying to get out.
Yeah.
How long, though, were you doing the open mics before you were getting real paid work and then transitioning to onto the road?
Well, I'll tell you, here's a big thing that I always tell comedians when they come up to me asking for advice. Nobody comes and asks me for advice. But what I will say is, if you're starting out, don't think you have to go to open mic, to MC, to feature, to headliner. I couldn't get work in my home club. They kept giving me audition after audition. The auditions went well, but they wouldn't hire me. So I started going to other clubs like Juniors and Erie, and I just told them I was a feature. I didn't tell them I was a host. Oh, I've been doing it 2 years. I'm a feature. Oh, okay. So you do a guest spot. They book you as a feature. And you go from open mic to feature. That's the best thing you can do, I think. Don't screw around being an MC because it's the hardest fucking hole to get out of is being an MC. Try to go from open mic and just all you got to do is work at it. Most comedians don't write. They don't think about working on their stuff constantly. But, you know, well, I shouldn't say they don't write, but just work at it. That's it.
I'll be honest, that's probably the best advice any comic has given us.
That's exactly what I did, man. I didn't fuck around, but I didn't MC a show until I was like 6 years into it.
Yeah, because when we ask them, a lot of them are just exactly what you said. Like, oh, do the mics, get 5 minutes, audition, get the MC. And I like that. That's a really good thing.
And
so,
if you are going to host, only do it at your home club. Anywhere else you go, tell them you're a middle act. And you better be ready to deliver when it happens or else you're not going to work again.
I like that. That's actually some really good advice.
Glad I can say one thing that's relevant.
Very, very unexpected, because most people are like, you need to do what people tell you to do. So I definitely like that you're like, hey, wait till they decide. Don't make up their mind for them.
You've got control over this, too.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're getting ready to wrap it up. So thank you very much once again to our special guest for the weekend, Mr. Kevin Whalen.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. For tickets to a show, visit funnystop.com to look up what's going on. Or? Nothing?
Well, yeah, I do have a plug, actually. I wrote a book called The Suck of Work, which is just an e-book. You know, we're still trying to shop for a publisher. Me and my friend, another comedian named Aaron Scardina. So it's called The Suck of Work, available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You got a Twitter, Facebook, anything we can find you at? Upcoming gigs?
I just deactivated my Twitter, but I do have Facebook. I'm on there.
Just Kevin Whalen?
Just Kevin Whalen. Yep, that's it.
Is it a like page or is it a...
It's a shitty page.
Just a person page?
I don't do anything with it. I really got to get better at marketing. I suck at it.
Is it like one that you like, or is it one where people add you as like a friend? Is it like a
you
person
can add
page?
As a friend, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, add Kevin on Facebook.
Thanks, guys.
Because he needs help and
friends.
So he can skip the help if you just do that.
And that's right. This is your host, Matt Brady, and we have Devin Connor closing out. That's Kevin Whalen. Check him out on his Facebook, and also get his book, man, The Suck of Work. That'll be a good one. Thanks a lot, guys, and thanks for coming.